Right, it's great to be with you tonight. We had a good time in the Sunday school and the service this morning. Appreciated all that was done, the music, and it just has been a blessing to be here. I just want to, as we start tonight, thank Pastor for, he took us out to lunch. And we just appreciate that, what a blessing that was. And then we received a basket from, I think, the missionary group. And we just appreciate that. Thank you so much for that. And then just letting us come and present the Alpha Women's Center here at your church. My wife, who is in the back, why don't you stand just in case someone hasn't seen you yet. She actually, we're doing our PowerPoint to begin with. She narrates it right now. We haven't put the narration to it, but she narrates it. And she likes to sit kind of in the back so no one sees her. But we're going to do that at this time, and then we'll come back and begin the presentation.
Oops. We are the Alpha Women's Center of Greater Milwaukee Area. We are a Christ-centered, biblically-based center operated by the Bible-believing churches in the Milwaukee area. It is the desire of the center to present a clear plan of salvation to those that enter its door. To encourage the client to choose life over abortion is the second desire of Alpha Women's Center. The clients that come in are introduced to a Bible study program that they are asked to complete in order to receive benefits from the donation closet. We do not advise, provide for, or refer abortions. Neither do we promote drugs that cause abortions. We are a support clinic that encourages the clients to carry their babies to term. We are a non-discriminating center, and we are committed to creating awareness in the community of the needs of pregnant women. Holly Hickey and Sue Hoppe organized the running of the center. They train counselors, oversee the donation closet and its organization, work with the clients with their Bible study program, keep records, plan events, and Holly also visits churches to present center updates. This is a list of our board of trustees. These men help to plan spending, set up dates with Holly for events, and oversee the center's financial needs. The Alpha Women's Center representative is Tim Burlingame. He has been a senior pastor and has served in many other areas of Christian service throughout the years. He and his wife, Terry, are both graduates of Maranatha Baptist Bible College, and they have a desire to reach churches with the message of the sanctity of life. The Alpha Women's Center building is a very special gift from God. The responsibility for its care and upkeep must be that of the churches involved with its ministry. There are so many places of service open for anyone that desires to be a blessing. If you have a desire to lend a hand in repairs, clothes and donation organization, cleaning or yard maintenance, or any other area, just speak to Brother Burlingame. The building is located in a very central area of Milwaukee, right across the street. The Milwaukee Police Station is, and the traffic is constant, and we're very grateful for the police station being so close at hand. As you can see, a building is always in need of one repair or update. In the past years, there have been men who voluntarily worked on the building, making much needed repairs and doing a lot of necessary painting. A regular group of men that can do this kind of work is a very real need. Maybe you have a gift for carpentry, painting, or electrical work. Is God perhaps calling you to help? Volunteers have dropped off this past year. If you can hang clothes on a hanger, dust, vacuum, sort through baby things, give Holly a call and she will be thrilled to get you started. And this is her contact number. And she is there every day from 9 to 3. We have two lists that help the center run efficiently. This first list is not exhaustive, but these are things that are most commonly needed in the center. Give you a minute to look that over. This second list covers all kinds of donations that the center gets from churches around the area. The items that go the quickest are baby bath, baby lotions, diapers, wipes, socks, or booties. And these are things that Holly says are always, always in need by the mothers. If you like to crochet or knit or sew, little layettes, booties, and blankets are always a treasure to the mothers that have earned the privilege to pick something from the closet because they have completed the Bible study. Formulas, diapers, baby toys, and many other things are donated to the center and are always useful. We just had, over in Burlington, the church there gave 25 homemade burp cloths that were very, very special, well done, really cute. So anything like that is needful. Once a year, the center holds a banquet. The challenges from the guest speakers are always of great encouragement. Elaine Appling has spoken at the banquet in the past, as have several other wonderful speakers that are involved in the pro-life cause. Then we have the baby bottle boomerang, which is another way to help. The center provides churches with baby bottles. And those that take a bottle fill it with change or a check, and after a designated time, these bottles are returned to the Alpha Women's Center, and whatever has been donated goes to providing for any needs that might arise. Only God knows the lives that have been touched by the Alpha Women's Center, but every now and again the center hears from a client that reassures the staff that God's word does not return void. Here's some pictures of ladies that not only were helped through the center to choose life for their baby, but they have received the Lord Jesus now as their Savior, and they have him for the rest of their life on earth to run to when things get too complicated or they're just in need of extra help. And Alpha Women's Center remains helpful to them as well, and that's a blessing. The center is located in a predominantly African American neighborhood, and the largest number of ladies that seek help within the doors are African Americans. The statistics tell the story. Since the forming of Planned Parenthood to date, more innocent lives have been murdered than what was committed during the Holocaust. E.W. Jackson stated, "Planned Parenthood has been more lethal to black lives than the KKK ever was." And another frightening statistic is that Planned Parenthood also supports sex trafficking of young girls, and they have been doing so for many, many years. What a sad commentary on how far America has gone. We need to pray that God will work on our hearts to do all we can to fight this evil, and to give whatever we can to stop the murdering of innocent lives. The message is clear. God loves the world. He desires that all come to him for salvation. All life is precious to him, and all lives matter. Life is in his hands alone, and no baby is a mistake. Let's have our prayer motivation for supporting the Alpha Women's Center to be the biblical question: is there not a cause? And if you can support in this ministry, please don't hesitate to get involved today. Thank you.
Well, I appreciate that. Thank you to my wife of, I think it's 40 years. What is it? 40 years. Praise the Lord. And that's the first wife. Yeah, someone always said, "You want to meet my first wife?" Yes, that's my first wife. Praise the Lord for her. The Alpha Women's Center. It's a different type of center. They've opened some centers recently in Milwaukee where a person can go in and they can get free items. They can just go and they ask for different things, and they will just give them to them. The Alpha Women's Center, as we said this morning, anyone that walks in the door is presented with the gospel. We read some of those statistics. They had 76 gospel presentations within the last 3 weeks, and I don't have that sheet up here, I don't think, but or 3 months before their meeting that they just had, their board meeting, and they had 2 people come to Christ. They're probably, as we've had our visitation program running in the summertime, and I can't remember exactly what our statistics were, but gospel presentations from our visitation program are they almost present more gospel messages than we do in our church in the whole summer, and they did that in 3 months. So it's an evangelistic outreach. Not only are they seeking to save babies, but they're seeking to save the mothers and give them the gospel that they would come to Christ. Recently, when I was down there doing some work, Holly was telling me that there was a Muslim woman came in with her husband, which is unusual, and she was able to witness to them, gave them the gospel of Christ to these 2 Muslim people. And so all sorts of people come in. Sometimes the boyfriends come, sometimes husbands, but they always receive the gospel message. The second thing the center does that's different is they have a learn and earn. Your pastor kind of mentioned that here, that they have to do Bible studies. So not only do they present the gospel, seek to win them to Christ, then they seek to disciple those that have been saved. So they have to go through the Bible studies to earn points, and then those points are applied to get things such as baby buggies and different things that they provide and people provide to the center. So it's a little bit different in that they give the gospel and they have the Bible studies. Not many of the centers do that. And so I just think that's wonderful because they're getting out the Word of God to those that come in. And they said that they had 88 new clients in that 3-month period, total of 399 with repeats. And so it's an active center, and we just appreciate those that work down there. My wife did mention that they have some needs right now. The person that was doing the clothing, they're mostly older folks like me. And they no longer are able to come. And so Holly and Sue do the clothing. So they have needs all the time. So that might be something you might consider one day a week, maybe one day a month, just to come in and give them a hand. They have clothes all the time, bags and bags. We took, I'm trying to think what meeting we were at, and someone brought us in like 10 bags that we then took back, and then they sort those things out and give them away. My wife mentioned the church in Burlington. It was interesting. We talked about needs. A lady came up and said she's in a sewing circle at the public library. And she went down to the sewing circle, and some of the ladies are unsaved. Some go to other churches, but they all wanted to make things for the Alpha Women's Center. And so that's where all the stuff came from. It was a sewing circle, public library, and they were just so happy to make things for the Alpha Women's Center. So it's been a blessing doing that. We have a table out front if you've not gone by it. There's some bookmarks there. We'd like you to take one that reminds you to pray for the center. There's some refrigerator magnets. There's some articles about the abortion issue and some recent things that I'll mention here in a minute. But there's things out there that you can look at and would be probably a help to you. All right, take your Bibles tonight to 2 Timothy. The book of 2 Timothy, second book that the Apostle Paul wrote to Timothy. And I want to read a verse to kind of launch us tonight. 2 Timothy and chapter 3. 2 Timothy 3, and I just want to look at verse number 1. It's a verse that I use quite often. It's kind of gets our minds around the fact that the days in which we live, things are not getting better and better, but they seem to be waxing worse and worse. The Bible here says, the Apostle Paul writing, "This know also, that in the last days perilous times shall come." The word perilous there is an interesting word. It means fierce. Have you seen fierce things happening in our society? Have you seen the attacks on our police forces? The marches, I think it was in New York, where they called really for the death of the pigs, the police. I mean, you, some of these things you imagine, how could these ever happen in the country in which we live? But it means fierce. It means furious, savage, and also dangerous. "This know also, that in last times dangerous, fierce, savage times shall come." And I think we're living in those days right now. We see the family unit being attacked and disintegrating. There was a black pastor on Fox News, and they were talking to him. He was at a Trump conference, and he had pastors in. And what his testimony was, he said that President Johnson was always his hero. And he always thought a lot of President Johnson. And then he found out that when he established the welfare system, what the welfare system was, they went into the inner city and they told women that they could be on welfare and they would get enough money to be able to live. They wouldn't have to work, and every child, they would get a little more money, and so they would get all this money, but they would have to put their husband or the man out of the house. They couldn't have a man in the house. And he said when he learned that, he said that's where they started to destroy the black family. And today, we have the results of that. We have the crime. We have all the murders in Chicago. They don't report much of it, but there are so many people murdered in Chicago, and it's mostly in the inner cities. And so we find that the family unit is being attacked. Single-parent homes are, as President Obama said, it's the new normal in our society. Well, that can't be normal. God said a man and a woman should get, they meet, they cleave together, and they shall be one flesh. And that's what God's plan has always been. And yet, these single-parent homes are now to seem to be the new normal. At lunch, we were talking about that the LGBT, and our pastor puts on a lot of other letters after that. They just keep adding new letters. But they act like they're the majority in our society, and that we're the minority. And they go in, and what they do, they intimidate people. They did it with that bakery and different places where now people are afraid of a small, small minority. And yet it seems to be coloring our whole culture today. In fact, in Illinois, there's a new law they passed where they are going to teach the history and contributions of the LGBTQ. The man that reported it said, I wonder what their contributions are. They probably only report the good ones, but we know that that isn't the case. And then I always get a kind of a laugh when I'm behind a car where I see the coexist bumper sticker. Anyone ever see a coexist bumper sticker? The left, the liberals, they don't want to coexist with anyone. They want you to coexist with them, and when you don't follow that, we saw that when they passed law and against unions in the state of Wisconsin, where they went to the Capitol and tried to destroy it. And so, yes, they don't want to coexist. There's a new law against counseling young gay people. about their lifestyle, trying to get them to understand that that is not, should not be their lifestyle. We had some people go down when they were having that as an issue in Racine, and they voted to do it. But they were able to speak down there, and a alderman from Racine got up and he said that churches and pastors have no right to counsel anyone. I guess he must not know his Bible, or of course, being unsaved, he probably does not. They reported that Milwaukee was number 6 most dangerous city in the country because of the crime. Moral values are changing. And then tonight, as we look at the abortion issue, these are things that we see happening in our society and how important it is that we stand up. Again, we talked at lunch about taking a stand biblically on issues and not to be afraid of that. There was reported after they passed the federal gay marriage law that there were pastors around the Madison area that they were told that if they preached against any of the gay issues, that they would have people march on their church and disrupt their services. And many of those pastors, fundamental Bible-believing, Bible-preaching pastors, have curtailed preaching against those things. And so at lunch, we determined that you need to be fearless. God tells us in his word that we need to stand for the truth. And so we know that that's something we need to preach and encourage people to do, to stand up for the truth no matter what. God will take care of those that stand up for what's right and biblical. There's was a poll that was taken that right now the abortion issue is about a 50-50 split, 50 for abortion and 50 against. In fact, in that same poll, 56% of the people said that the law Roe versus Wade needs to be changed. Now, changed, I don't know what change means to them. But there's so many things that are happening. There's many states trying to pass the heartbeat law, that as soon as there's a heartbeat in a baby in the womb, they no longer can be aborted. Now, they pass those laws, and then a court overturns that law. And many of those laws then are sent higher up in higher courts. 3D imaging now is being used, where there's absolutely no doubt that within the body of a woman, that is a baby. There's no doubt anymore. Usually the abortion-minded people said that that's just tissue. That isn't a human being. But with 3D imaging now, that is a human being, and there's no doubt about it. And then something that is, it's hard to understand, and that is the selling of body parts by Planned Parenthood. There's a case, I have a article out on the table where they're suing the one that made those 11 videos where they talked to people and the people bragged on how much money they were making from selling these body parts. Even one woman is recorded, I heard this on VCY, but she's recorded as touching a baby and the heart started to beat, an aborted baby. It's sad, but that's our society. We live in perilous times, and that's why it's so important that we are supporting groups like the Alpha Women's Center, like the Baptist for Life, missionaries on the mission field as they preach the gospel. We're not going to be able to change the culture in which we live without people changing what they believe, and the only way they change what they believe is when they get a new mind and a new heart through salvation in Jesus Christ. When I was unsaved, of course, that's been quite a while ago. I was saved in 1976 when I was 21 years old. But my life, I wasn't concerned about any of these things. But once I was saved and I heard these issues and was in good churches, I started to realize how important biblical issues are and how we needed to be involved in those things. So why the Alpha Women's Center? Why Baptists for Life? Why challenge churches and people to partner with those type of ministries? It's because how important God places those things. Now, early on in the ministry of the Alpha or Women's Center, Pastor Richard Rogers, he's the pastor of Calvary Baptist in Sturtevant, he wrote a history on the center. And so what we do in our presentation is we kind of go through this history to give you an idea why that center was started. He wrote a brief history, and hopefully we'll be brief tonight. But he started out with, and he has several points in it, but he started out with the dilemma in our culture. He used Ecclesiastes 3, verses 1 through 3, and he reminds us to everything there is a season, and a time to every purpose under the heaven, a time to be born, and a time to die. Now, this is God speaking now. There's a time to be born, and a time to die, a time to kill, and a time to heal. Each January, we're reminded of this as the Sanctity of Human Life Sunday is observed by various churches and organizations across America. As you likely know, this is the month in which the infamous Roe versus Wade and Doe versus Bolton decisions were passed. Now, we all know about Roe versus Wade, but Doe versus Bolton, I had never heard of that. And so I looked it up. And so let me tell you what that was. And it's interesting, it ties in pretty much with the New York law that has just been passed. It has some of the same wording in it. But in Georgia, there was an abortion law on the books, and they passed an anti-abortion law. And the Supreme Court of Georgia overturned it, putting that former law in place. And this is what the former law was. It says the former law thus allowed a woman to have an abortion after viability. The word viability means where that baby can live outside the womb. So she can have an abortion after the baby actually could be born and live. And it was based on the fact of being harmful to a woman's health. But it then described what that meant. It meant, or it included, physical harm, emotional, psychological, familial, or age. Which means that if that woman, was pregnant, and all of a sudden that baby was 6, 7 months pregnant, and all of a sudden she said, "I can't have a baby. I'm not able to care for a baby," that would be grounds to be aborted. Age, if someone said, "Well, you know, I'm too old. I just don't think I could have a baby." Emotion or psychological, seeing someone and they say, "You know, you really shouldn't have a baby. You're not able to do that." So the doctor and the woman would decide the fate of that baby, and it wouldn't be just because, you know, maybe the baby would hurt her physically or that she might die from the birth. And you're going to see that that's what's in the New York law. They have the exact same wording. In 2003, Sandra Cano, and that's Doe in the case, tried to reopen the case and was denied because she said the lawyer lied to her and used her just to pass the law. And she died in 2014, and she claimed to be pro-life at the time. And so we find that not only is it Roe versus Wade, but this other one, Doe versus Bolton decisions. These ultimately allowed, through the highest court in the land, abortion on demand. Now, these are some things that we mentioned this morning. Let me just quickly mention some of these. And the first one is that New York law. And let me read what this says, and many of you maybe have read this or heard this. But New York Governor Andrew Cuomo signed the law, a bill that protects abortion rights. And this is what he said. "Today we are taking a giant step forward in the hard-fought battle to ensure a woman's right to make her own decisions about her own personal health, including the ability to access an abortion. With the signing of this bill, we're sending a clear message that whatever happens in Washington, women in New York will always have the fundamental right to control their own body. So he's saying if they overturn Roe versus Wade in Washington, it doesn't matter in New York. They're still going to abort babies. Now, that would mean he'd have to go against federal law, which I don't know how that would what would happen with that, but that's his position. Now, this is some of the bad things about that law. Not only will the law preserve access to abortion, it also removes abortion from the state's criminal code. This would protect doctors or medical professionals who perform abortions from criminal prosecution. The law also now allows medical professionals who are not doctors to perform abortions in New York, and if something happens, they can no longer be charged criminally. It's under the health code. And there's other things here that if you are interested, we could even get you a copy of that. This is another thing, and if I don't know if you've looked this up, but when they passed that law in New York, the Senate erupted in applause. And I listened to that, and it's unsettling that people would applaud a law that will kill babies. It's unsettling. I when I talked to some people about that, I said, who could these people be? I mean, who would applaud murdering a baby? And now the vote here was 38-24 in the Senate. In the New York Senate, this is from January 23, 2019, this year, the New York Senate was seen erupting in feverish applause after voting to approve a bill which would allow abortion up to birth, heralding as a major victory for pro-abortion activists. The Reproductive Act was signed on the 46th anniversary of the Supreme Court decision Roe versus Wade. Now here's the similarity between that and Doe versus Bolton. Critically, however, the intentional ambiguity of that last part allows for the destruction of the baby at any point during pregnancy should the doctor deem the mother's well-being at risk. The term well-being is in itself terrifyingly nonspecific. So with regards to these life and death decisions, physicians will be asked to assess all factors: physical, emotional, psychological, familial, and the woman's age relevant to the well-being of the patient. And so for any reason now, they can abort a baby all the way up to birth, and some even say that after they're born, they can make a decision whether or not that woman wants that. And then quickly, and then we'll move right along here. This morning I was talking about this abortion clock. And what I did was I did some math, because I actually went to school a long time ago and I know how to do math. I don't know if today if many people know how to do math, kids know how to do much math, but I did some math. And I did this a month ago, and then I just did it, my latest one I did on Saturday, yesterday at 10:53 or 10:43 in the morning. And this time I was on there for 10 minutes. But so I compared, this is almost a month, it's 4 days shy of a month. In the United States this year, in 1 month, they've added 67,911 abortions in 1 month in the United States. Worldwide, they added, this year, they added in 1 month 2 million, almost 3 million, 2,944 in 1 month. And then they have a section of black babies. The black, I forget what group it was, wanted it included on this clock to show people of color that they're aborting them at a high rate. And in fact, if you read about Margaret Sanger, who founded Planned Parenthood, or is called the founder, actually that was her purpose. And if you ever read about that, you'll find that out, that that was the purpose of her group early on in the early 1900s. 20,373 were added in 1 month. And so we find that it's important as we think about this, the dilemma in our culture. People will abort for almost any reason. There's been reasons given that, well, I need to go to college and I can't have a baby now. There was even someone that used the excuse, we're going on a family vacation this summer, and so I can't have a baby. I have to abort it. There was a center in Milwaukee that does ultrasounds. And Alpha Women's Center sends the girls to have ultrasounds done. Now, sometimes they don't go, but they make the arrangements and set them up, and they're free. There was a center, and I went on the center, and they had a video of a girl who was there for an abortion. And what she did, she went there, and she had already had an abortion, and she was going to go to college, and so she was going to get another abortion. They did the new 3D ultrasound, and in her testimony on video, she said, when I saw that baby, I knew I couldn't abort that baby, and she has kept the baby. In her testimony, she has gone to college, has graduated, and her life, she said, has never been better because she kept that baby. So those in the front line are making a difference. There's a dilemma in our culture, but those centers are making a difference, those folks on the front line. Secondly, he said there's a divine author of life. Life, however, is very precious to God. He has absolute control over every realm of it. Solomon speaks of a time to be born and a time to die. Take your Bibles to Job chapter 10. Job chapter number 10, Old Testament, Job, Psalms, Proverbs. And so you got to remember your books of the Bible so you can find these, especially if you don't do high tech on your Bible on a phone. So Job chapter 10 and verse 8. Look what it says here, God in his word. Job 10:8 says, thine hands have made me and fashioned me together round about, yet thou dost destroy me. You know, I always like that word fashion there. The word fashion means that God has made us, but he's made us with a purpose in mind. He fashioned us. You know, when you fashion something, you have something in your mind, what you want it to look like, what you want to use it for, the purpose, maybe a person that's making ceramics, they want to make a vessel for a certain purpose, maybe a vase, maybe a bowl, or a woodworker. And so in their mind, they have a purpose, and then they fashion it. And that's what it's saying here, I believe, that God is saying he made us, but not only that, he fashioned us for a purpose. So every baby God has made and fashioned for a purpose. You know, those babies that are aborted, we have no idea what God's purpose for their life would have been. You know, what could God have used them for? They could have cured cancer, one of them. We have no idea, but God has an idea, and he values life. Life is very precious to him. One more verse, if you turn then to Psalm 139. These are probably very familiar verses to you, but it's always good to look at them. Psalm 139, and we're going to just look at verse 13. Psalm 139 and verse 13 and through 16, and it says this. God writes, for thou hast possessed my reins, thou hast covered me in my mother's womb. I will praise thee, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Marvelous are thy works, that my soul knoweth right well. My substance was not hid from thee when I was made in secret and curiously wrought in the lowest parts of the earth. God values life. Not only that, he sets a time of death. We find that in Ecclesiastes chapter 3. We find that in Job. We see that in chapter 3 of Ecclesiastes, but Job writes about it this way in Job 14:5. He says, "Seeing his days are determined, the number of his months are with thee, and thou hast appointed his bounds that he cannot pass." God appoints when a man then will die. There are countries in Europe that are euthanizing their elderly population. And you know, if you think about what's happening with babies, and some people actually call some of these new laws, they're creating infanticide. And you know what comes after infanticide? Euthanize. So we that are a little bit older, when you have problems, I remember President Obama saying to someone that asked him a question about some procedure for this lady's mother who was in good health but needed a procedure, he said, well, maybe it might end up that they just give her a pill, an aspirin. Yeah, he was saying that they're not going to help older people. And that's where this all is going. And so we have to be very careful. Truly God, and him alone, is the author of life. And then his next section is the demonstration for life. And this is an interesting section. He says, man has elevated his own significance and interfered in this process of life and death. It is clear from his perspective that he has the self-appointed right to replace God when it comes to these issues, and his supremacy over life and death seems to be escalating. And so what we find is man says that instead of God deciding these things, that he has the right, and organizations and Planned Parenthood, and like in California, California is run by the gay community, and they pass laws that benefit them, and they don't care about anyone else because they believe that they have the right answers and what should be done. And then the next section is the development of the center. But the need was still great. There were organizations that were forming, pro-life organizations. There were secular pro-life organizations that were forming. The Catholic Church has been pro-life. But all of these organizations, there were many that they believed that because of their Bible stand, they were uncomfortable to join with these organizations. They would still stand for what's biblical, but to join with them, they were uncomfortable. And so the development of the center, and here is where your church comes in. Recognizing the need for involvement, several independent Baptist pastors, along with the people from their churches, held a meeting at Calvary Baptist Church in Menominee Falls in 1992 to discuss the possibility of starting a crisis pregnancy center. There could be no direct involvement with pro-life issues without compromising doctrinal convictions. If the center would be governed and staffed by independent, there would be no problem by independent Baptist churches. The goal was to develop a pro-life ministry, that emphasized the gospel of Jesus Christ and evangelistic fervor and would provide a tangible means for Baptist churches to minister in a way that would not compromise their doctrines or convictions. At that meeting, a seed was sown with the help of Baptist for Life and Thorne Anderson, director of Baptist for Life of Minnesota. The process began and the Alpha Women's Center was formed. And the ministry at Alpha Women's Center is focused on Jesus Christ and the gospel. The counselors are burdened for lost people. Hundreds of ladies have trusted the Lord as their Savior. Many have chosen life for their babies instead of death. In addition, many husbands, boyfriends, and children have heard the gospel and have professed faith in Jesus Christ. Each new believer is referred to a local Baptist church. A time to heal is replacing a time to kill through the Alpha Women's Center ministry. And that ended his history of the Alpha Women's Center. That's why we need the Alpha Women's Center. Recently, our pastor shared, Pastor Brown from First Baptist in Oak Creek, shared that he would stand at the abortion clinics, and they would hand things out. People would be almost arrested, some arrested, that were just trying to hand out literature. And he did that. He fought a adult bookstore in Oak Creek. And I was telling your pastor that that someone had set fire to their church some years ago. I don't know how many years ago it was. And they had to meet in a different place to rebuild their building. And they believe it was because of his stand against this adult bookstore. But he believes that what Baptists for Life and the centers, and they're opening, trying to open a new center in the state of Wisconsin, are probably much more effective at reaching people. Because as I worked down there, I was, I think this morning maybe I mentioned, I was working on the doorknob on the front door because they have a system that buzzes people in. And as I was working there, I had to keep stopping because people just kept coming in. And they would come in and they go up to the desk, and Sue Hoppe would greet them, and if they were new clients, she would give them the gospel, or they'd take them in a counseling room, and I was being interrupted. But you know, I was glad I was interrupted, because that meant people were coming into the center. And he believes that those centers are really reaching a lot of people, and so we can praise the Lord for that. So what can we do then, as individuals and churches? Well, we need to get involved. Number one, we need to pray. We've got bookmarks, and if you haven't gotten one, make sure you pick one up where it reminds you to pray. Pray for the center. Every day, those ladies down there, some work, you know, physically on the clothing rooms and et cetera. Others are counseling and talking to these ladies, and they're giving them the gospel. They're doing these Bible studies with them, and they're seeking to help them spiritually. And that's spiritual warfare, and your prayer makes a difference. So make sure you pray. Our pastor, whenever there's an election, he tells the people, you must vote, and I trust that you vote. You know, the Judge Hagedorn that was just elected, they never thought he would win. In fact, Planned Parenthood was backing his opponent. In fact, his opponent, mother, was head of Planned Parenthood, I think, in Michigan or something. So never thought he would win. And then it appears that people, they knew what was at stake. And they went out and voted, and he was elected. It was almost a shock. In fact, many Christian people, I was shocked. But voting, you need to vote for people that have the same type of beliefs that you have, or close, or that you can support. And then financial support. You saw on the PowerPoint, the baby bottle boomerang, the walk for life, the ride for life, the banquet that was just held. They took in more money at this banquet than they ever have in the past. And so these are all ways to help support that. And then the license plates, we do have some things in the back that you can apply for those. And some of that money goes to the centers in Wisconsin. And churches can basically determine what they can do. You could have a rocking chair fundraiser. I mean, there's all sorts of things that you can do. In Kansas, when we were in Kansas outside of Wichita, there was a lady that would help in the school, and what she'd do is she would have a rummage once or twice a year, and any profit she gave to the school, she just donated them. I mean, but she did it on her own. So those are all things that a person can do. And then, of course, supplies for the Learn and Earn program. Standing for pro-life. We read this morning the theme verse of the center, holding forth the word of life. And let me just close tonight by reading something from Director Andy Burrow from the Baptist for Life. He wrote something in his, I cut it off, but I think it's the Proclaimer is what his mailer is. And this, he entitles it, As I See It. Though I don't think of myself as old, I am probably older than most of the people that will read my thoughts here. Ever since I've been involved in Christianity, there's been a establish an understanding of what is right and what is wrong, with a lot of gray area in between. For a long while, most people didn't defend actions that were obviously wrong, and no one attacked the actions of those doing things that the majority had accepted as right. The battle was in the gray areas, where people would establish their own convictions of right and wrong, such as acceptable dress, approved entertainment, and styles of music. Our country was founded on the principles laid out in the Bible and based on the teachings of the Word of God. What was right and wrong was established. Today, the challenge seems to be that most people decide what is right and wrong strictly based on public opinion rather than on a standard such as the Word of God. Issues such as homosexuality, adultery, abortion, and transgenderism are declared right if that's what the majority wants. Isaiah 5:20 says, "Woe unto them that call evil good and good evil." And yet that is exactly what people are doing. Being very pro-life, the concern I have is the way the abortion issue is going. Abortions were performed for years even before Roe versus Wade was passed. In 1973, it was legalized in our country, and it became a right to murder your offspring. At that time, it was considered a legal option as a last resort. Gradually, it has evolved to not just an option, but a privilege and something to celebrate. We know that we live in a sin-cursed bodies on a sin-cursed earth, but as Christians, we are called to be salt and light in a tasteless and dark world. Too many of us have done nothing and turned our backs on what is happening and have not stepped up and spoken out. It's time the world was reminded of what God says is right and wrong, and it's up to God's people to do that. Are you involved?